Father, we're thankful this morning to come before your throne and ask you for help. Many people have already prayed today. We add to those prayers, Father, this simply that we will expound the words of God in accordance with your will. We pray that you will open the scriptures and make them very plain. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, because anything that needs to be done here today cannot be done apart from the work of your Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, you said to us, without me you can do nothing, and we believe that. We know that to be true. We pray for Gil Aranda at the Berean Fundamental Baptist Church in Zion, Illinois. Father, no specific request except that we pray for his church. We pray that you'll fill him with your Holy Spirit and strengthen his folks, that they will respond well to the preaching of the Word of God. And we also pray, Lord, that the church will grow spiritually and numerically and accomplish in that region those things that you want done by those members of your body. For we ask you to do these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 6, when I began to prepare this lesson a couple of weeks ago, and I got stuck on trying to do all 13 verses in one lesson, and then I thought we'd do 8 verses in one lesson, and you know what? There's so much in the first verse, we're not going to do any more than that today. But there's a good reason for it, because when you see this particular verse of Scripture, you're going to ask yourself the same question that many people have asked me about this verse of Scripture, and a question that I ask about it myself. Let's read it together. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." Now, this is a very specific date when this happened. If you remember, Isaiah preaches through the reigns of 4 kings. He begins his prophecy during the reign of Uzziah and preaches through the reigns of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So this is fairly early in his ministry. He sees this. Now, if you go to commentaries, like some of you like to get on the internet and see what a verse means if you don't understand it. If you go to the internet and you try to get this, you're gonna hear more gobbledygook than you can imagine trying to figure out what's going on here. They'll say, well, the Hebrew word is Adonai. It's not the Tetragrammaton, which is the word for God Almighty. And so he saw an angel, or he saw something, or he saw nothing. I know that because I looked to see what they had to say. And by the time you read all of what they have to say, you're so confused, you don't know. You don't even remember that you're in Isaiah anymore. Really, there's just so much retranslation of the Bible, anything to make it fit. It's not that complicated. What you do when you see a verse like this and you think, okay, what do I do with this? You go to the Bible and you see what the Bible says about appearances of the Lord. And when you do that, you'll know what he saw, you'll know who it is that he saw, and you'll know what it was that he didn't see. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're simply going to look at this verse, because this could be a complicated verse given some other scriptures. But once you see it from the scripture, then you say, okay, that untangles it. And the benefit of this lesson will not only be to understand verse 1, but it will also be to show you that when you come across a verse of Scripture you're not sure about, go to the Bible. The Bible is the best commentary on itself. Now, here's the problem, and you know it already if you know any Bible at all. The problem with this is Isaiah said, "I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne." And if you remember your New Testament, if you've ever read up into the Gospel of John, you're probably thinking, but no man hath seen God at any time. So how is he seeing the Lord? Go with me to John chapter 1, verse 18, and look at that verse that I just quoted. John chapter 1, look at verse 18. Keep your Bible plenty handy today, because we're going to be running through the Scriptures to sort this all out. We'll try not to outrun you, but we will definitely give you Scriptures. John chapter 1, verse 18, this is the testimony now of John. "No man hath seen God at any time." All right? But Isaiah said, "I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." So you think, well, okay, well, what did he see? Well, to further compound the problem, okay, and to further confirm what John said in John chapter 1 and verse 18, go with me to the book of Exodus, which is the second book in your Bible. And in the book of Exodus, Turn to chapter 33. Chapter 33 in the book of Exodus happens right after Aaron makes the golden calf, and Moses catches everybody worshiping this golden calf, and 3,000 of them naked, and all kind of bad things going on. Moses desires to see the Lord. And in Exodus chapter 33 and verse 20, this is what the Lord said to him. Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. That corroborates what John said, no man hath seen God at any time. Now, Moses did get to see something of God, but he didn't get to see his face. In verse 23, when God passed by him, he said, I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. You know what's interesting? In the same chapter that you just read there in Exodus chapter 33, where he says, thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Look how the Lord and Moses commune in verse 11. Same chapter, verse 11. The Lord spake unto Moses, how? Face to face. As a man speaketh unto his friend. You say, now that's just, you know, that's what I don't like about the Bible. There are so many contradictions in there. It says you can't see my face, and yet God said I spoke to him face to face, and Isaiah said I saw him, and God said you can't see me. And so people look at all that, and some say, there you go, that Bible can't be true, there's contradictions. Others say, well, we need to retranslate it so it'll make sense and be consistent. No, you don't need to do any of those things. What we need to do is we need to just study a little more. How are these two things true? How is it that Moses could speak face to face and yet not see his face? How is it that Isaiah could see the Lord and yet no man hath seen God at any time? Well, it's very simple. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6 again. And look at verse 1 again. I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he describes it. It stood, above it stood the seraphims. Verse 3, one cried to the other. Verse 4, the door of the post moved. Watch verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Watch it, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now during this vision, Isaiah's iniquity is purged, and verse 8 says, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Look at the next two verses, verses 9 and 10. He said, that's the Lord, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not, watch it. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. That particular statement right there shows up three other times in Scripture where the Bible says, and such is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah when he said, verse 10. Okay? Though that context then of the vision that Isaiah saw is in the context of getting this commission to go to the people and make their heart fat, their eyes heavy, their ears dull of hearing, and their understanding darkened where they can't be converted and be healed. Okay? Now go with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. Are we together so far? We're just laying a little foundation. Just laying a little foundation. John chapter 12. He says he saw the Lord. God said, no man hath seen me at any time. The Lord God said, you can't see my face, and yet he talked to Moses face to face. In this vision, Isaiah is given a commission to go tell Israel a particular prophecy. John chapter 12, that prophecy is repeated. Look at verse 37. John says about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 12, verse 37, but though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. that the saying of Isaiah the prophet may be fulfilled, which was spoken, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed. That's a prophecy from Isaiah 53. Keep reading. Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, now he's going to quote Isaiah 6:10. He hath blinded their eyes, hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Verse 41, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Whose glory did he see? The glory of whom? The glory of God. Now, God is one God manifest in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Of the three persons, whom did he see? Jesus Christ. That's exactly what happened. So what he's telling you, and we're going to see now in several other references, when he speaks face to face to the Lord, he's speaking to a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. But when God says, you can't see my face and live, he's talking God the Father. And that's what's going on here. And so when John says, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him, if you want to see God, look at Jesus Christ. You will see his face. But only in Jesus Christ, not in God the Father. Do you understand? And you say, is that true? Can that really be so? Yeah, look in John. You're in John, right? Chapter 12. We saw verse 41. Look at verse 44. Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. You see? Look again in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. This is the great discourse where the Lord talks about going up where the mansions are in heaven. And Thomas said, in verse 5 in John chapter 14, he said, we know not whither thou goest, how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 7, he said, if ye had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto the Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. We hadn't seen him. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? So what they're seeing is a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. That thing is called a theophany, if you want the big word for it. But since we don't use big words around here, we'll forget we ever heard that word. And we'll just say, you say, well, what's a pre-incarnate? I don't know what incarnate is. Have you ever eaten chili? Chile, we say chile. Chile, some people call that salsa. You go there and you dip your corn chips in it and eat that chile. It's just hot sauce. You know what chile con carne is? That's hot sauce with some meat in it. You know what Jesus incarnate is? It's God manifest in the flesh. It's Jesus in meat. What you have standing up here for you is a meathead. This is bones with meat on it. That's all you have up here. When God gets in here and starts doing something through this meathead, then it can be profitable if the Spirit of God gets on it, okay? So pre-incarnate vision of Jesus Christ just means before he actually shows up as the baby from Mary's womb. He is seen, and when he appears, he has a definite appearance. And that's what Isaiah saw, according to John chapter 12, verse 41, when he was given that particular prophecy. And so there is no contradiction, because Jesus does make himself apparent in the Old Testament where people can see him and still live. Now go back to Isaiah chapter 6 and notice a little word inserted in verse 1 that clues us in that Isaiah is not the only one who has ever seen the Lord in this capacity. Isaiah chapter 6, look at verse 1, in the year that Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne. Well, you could say in addition to everything else that happened, I saw him. Or you could say in addition to the other people that have seen him, I saw him. I saw also the Lord. In other words, that there are some other people that have seen him also. You say, is that true? Sure. Go back to Exodus chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. When Moses went up to the mount to get the law, at first when the law was given in Exodus chapter, we're going to Exodus chapter 24, but in Exodus chapter 20, when the law was first given, Moses was down there with all the people and God was speaking from Mount Sinai. And it was all a smoke. That's where the Hollywood got the idea of smoke around the curtain in The Wizard of Oz with a voice of a man you couldn't see. They're listening to all that. And then God tells them a bunch of other things, gives it to Moses. And then in Exodus chapter 24, verse 9, the Bible says, "Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel he laid not his hand. Also they saw God and did eat and drink." What are they seeing? They have to be seeing Jesus Christ. You know, people attack the deity of Jesus Christ. They say that Jesus Christ is not God manifest in the flesh, but he is a lesser God that was created by God. But boy, when you see that they're seeing the God of Israel, but they can't look upon God Almighty, if Jesus Christ is not God, that verse right there is a lie, because they saw the God of Israel. And they describe it. He said there's a paved work of sapphire stone. You want to remember that. And also that, as it were, the body of heaven in his clearness, which is unusual, kind of an interesting thing. But when you read in the book of Revelation about, New Jerusalem, what are the streets made of in New Jerusalem? They're made of gold. What color are they? They're transparent. They're clear as crystal, the Bible says. And what they're seeing is that body of heaven in his clearness. It is a divine revelation of God. But Moses sees him. Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel see him. The only thing they can be looking at is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go back to Genesis chapter 18, and you'll see a little bit of what this appearance is like. Genesis 18, I mean, you're probably wondering in your mind, what is it that they see? You know what they see? Many times, most of the time, they see a man. That's what they see. The Bible says there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Okay? They see a man. Genesis chapter 18, look at verse 1. "And the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre." Help me with something real quick. How is the word Lord spelled in the first part of that verse? All capital letters, right? When you see that, that's an indication to you that the Hebrew word that was translated is the Tetragrammaton. You say, "Oh, brother, I know I don't ever refer to the Hebrew here, so you don't have to get blown away by my scholarship, no, or our inability to even understand." The Tetragrammaton are the four Hebrew radicals that are written in the Old Testament for God Almighty. They are a yod, a how, a way, and a how. And so people say they're either pronounced Yahweh or Yehovah. You see them in your Bible, Jehovah. Okay, anytime they come across that word when they're translating, they don't pronounce it. The New Testament says about Jesus Christ, he had a name written which no man knew but he himself. Nobody knows how to pronounce that word because it never was pronounced. And any time it was ever written by a translator, they changed clothes, bathed themselves, got a new quill, and wrote that word. When it's translated in English, it's all capital, L-O-R-D. The Lord appeared to him in the plains of Mamre. You see that? What he's telling you is God Almighty showed up. What did he see? "He sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant." You know what he sees? Three men. Now, I don't want to detract from the lesson too much, but when you follow out Genesis 18, this is right before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and go into Genesis chapter 19, It turns out those three men are Jesus Christ and two angels. That's what you have. Look in Genesis chapter 18. Look at verse 20. The Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it which has come unto me, and if not, I will know. And the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. How many were there when they started? Three. What the Bible says, Abraham stood yet before the Lord. That means one remained. There should be two heading down to Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at chapter 19, verse 1. There came two angels to Sodom at even. Those men were angels. Those two angels come to Sodom. And when they show up as men. You say, how do you know that? Look at verse 5 in Genesis 19. They cried unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? So the angels show up, they appear as men. One of those stays with Abraham, and two of them go down to Sodom. The one that stays with Abraham is the pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. He had appeared to him. You say, is that true? Yeah, he knew who he was. Look in Genesis 17. Genesis chapter 17. And look at verse 1. When Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord, tell me how it's spelled. Okay. Appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face and God talked with him and then gave him the covenant. That's not an angel, because when Abram falls on his face, if that's just an angel, that angel's going to make him stand up. He will not accept worship unless that's the Lord. Okay? And when he sees him, he shows up and he looks like a man. That's why Abram made all the elaborate preparations for him in Genesis 18. When they showed up, he knew who it was. Bowed himself before him, and then he made them the meal, and then they communed with each other. He recognized that appearance to be God in a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Okay, just for reference, so you'll see, turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. That won't be hard to find. We are in the first book of the Bible. Now you're going to go to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22. If the appearance that he saw in Genesis chapter 17 were just an angel, watch what would have happened in Revelation 22, verse 8. All right, a lot of things were given to John to record in the book of Revelation. Revelation 22, 8, I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard them, when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he made him stand up. Wouldn't accept the worship. So an angel would have an appearance that would be very similar to the appearance that Abraham saw, but there's a distinct difference. One of them is the Lord, and the other ones look like the Lord. You know what we're going to look like in eternity? We're going to look like the Lord. That's why those angels are called the sons of God. That's why Jesus Christ is called the Son of God. There's a similarity in appearance, but only one of them is the real thing. Okay? So, the angel, any angel, will never allow himself to be worshipped above God. The angel that appears to Manoah, they want to offer a sacrifice, said, you can offer it to God, not to me. You know, there's only one, a cherub named Lucifer, who became Satan. He will accept worship, but he is a defector, he's a liar, and he will be destroyed for doing that. Okay? Go to Ezekiel now. Ezekiel chapter 1. You say, where's that? Well, you were in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, the whole chapter, Ezekiel chapter 1, is a chapter concerning the appearance of the Lord and many things concerning the cherubim that showed up and the colors that were there and the stones and the fire and the wheels and the eyes, all kind of stuff. But in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26, he tells you when he sees God in that appearance, he shows you what he sees. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26, above the firmament that was over their heads, that's the heads of the cherubim, was the likeness of a throne. That's what Isaiah said he saw, that the appearance that of God that he saw was on a throne, high and lifted up. Was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. That's what Nadab and Abihu and them saw, of the pavement of a sapphire stone under it. And upon the likeness of the throne there was the likeness as the appearance of a what? A man above upon it. So when he shows up as a man. Okay? And that's what he sees here. But now, that particular appearance of that man is going to be bright, like the appearance of Jesus Christ at the Mount of Transfiguration when he transfigured himself before the apostles. His raiment became white and shone like that bright light and as the sun, so it's a very bright appearance there. Go back to Genesis now and look at Genesis chapter 32. There was somebody else that had a run-in with this man. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32 and verse 24, this is when Jacob is on his way back from his time with Laban, and he is preparing to meet Esau, and it doesn't look like it's going to go too good because Esau's going to meet him with a company of 400 men, and all Jacob can do is feel very guilty for his past transgression, and he's sure the man's coming to kill him. At night, something happens. Genesis 32, verse 24. Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a what? A man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, that is, the man didn't prevail against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." That's the man talking to him. And Jacob said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he, that's the man, said unto him, no, and Jacob said unto him, the man, "What is thy name?" Excuse me, I did it. The man says to Jacob, "What's thy name?" And Jacob said, "Esau." Isn't that what he said the last time somebody asked him what your name is? he said, "My name is Jacob." Told the truth this time. And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for he said, "I have seen God, help me, face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Well, he sees a man, and he says, "I've seen God face to face." Was he lying? No, he wasn't. He did see the same thing that Abraham saw, and it's a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. Now, we have seen that that pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ is the appearance of a man, but he's also recognized as an angel, and when Jacob wrestles with this guy, he knows there's something different about this particular man than any other man he's seen before. And you have to go to the book of Hosea to find out why. Hosea. So we've been to Ezekiel, right? Ezekiel. The next book is Daniel. And the next book is Hosea. If you get to Joel, you've gone too far. Hosea chapter 12. Hosea chapter 12. Look at verse 3 for the context. Or verse 2 if you want to for the context. The Lord hath also controversy with Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings, will he recompense him. Watch it. He took his brother by the heel in the womb. That's Jacob and Esau. And by his strength he had power with God, yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Who is us? Even the Lord of hosts. The Lord is his memorial. You read a lot there. That man that Jacob wrestled with was an angel, but a specific angel known as the angel of the Lord. And the Lord says here, he spake with us, telling you there is one God, but he's in three persons. God said in Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So this is a very interesting study, because you're getting a lot of exposure to things you would read in many other passages of the Bible based upon what you found here. You say, now wait a minute, is he a man or is he an angel? Is it Memorex or is it live? Go to Exodus chapter 3. Is it God or is it a man or is it an angel? What is it? Well, it's all of that. Exodus chapter 3. He's God. He is typically called the angel of the Lord when he shows up in the Old Testament. And his appearance is as a man, either in glory, like Isaiah saw him and like Ezekiel saw him, or as a common man, like Abraham saw him. Okay? Exodus chapter 3. Look at it again. Verse 2. This is Moses on the backside of the desert. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. He said, here am I. He said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Very important. You'll see that at the end of the lesson. There's another reference to this very same thing. Moreover, he said, watch it. The angel of the Lord is identifying himself now. He says, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he's afraid to look upon God. Now Moses wanted God to identify himself. Look at verse 14. God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And that's where he identifies himself, by those four Hebrew radicals, the tetragrammaton. Okay? Are we snorkeling or are we together? Are we going in too deep? Are we doing good? Okay? Reason we're going through this so thoroughly is because you're going to read these books. When you read in there and you go like that, wait a minute, is it an angel? Is it a man? What is it? It's God, his manifestation in that. Angels are, the Bible says, my God is a consuming fire, and those angels oftentimes appear as flaming fire. Okay? And so when he shows up here as that fire, identifies himself as God Almighty, all of those things are true. All of those things are true. He's the angel of the Lord, he's God Almighty, and he appears as a man. Okay? One note of clarification, and then we're going to head in, look at a couple more of these, and let you digest this. What I see before me now are people who have already had the ribeye, the baked potato, two sides, and the salad. And I've just offered you dessert, and you're like, I can't take any more. But just to wrap it up, just give you a little bit more, look with me in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. This is not to add confusion, this is to add clarification. Luke chapter 1. Occasionally you are going to find references to the angel of the Lord in the Bible, and those references are not going to be to Jesus Christ, because there are other angels like Gabriel and Michael. And when they're on a specific duty, like here in Luke chapter 1, you're going to see them referred to as the angel of the Lord. You're in Luke chapter 1, look at verse 11. there appeared unto him, this is Zechariah, getting ready to find out the prophecy of the birth of John the Baptist. There appeared unto him an angel of the Lord. See, it doesn't say the angel of the Lord, but an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And verse 13, the angel speaks to him. Okay? Notice what the angel identifies himself in verse 19. The angel answering said unto him, I'm Gabriel. See that? So there are going to be times when you're going to see a reference to an angel of the Lord that it's not going to be a reference to Jesus. But if it's a reference to Jesus, you're going to see some notable things other places in the Bible. Somebody's going to bow down and worship him, and he's going to accept that worship is one of the most notable. Or he's going to be pointed out as being the Son of God. I'll show you an example. Turn. Okay, we've been to Ezekiel, right? We found that. Now we'll go to Daniel. It's the next book. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 is about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. What happens to them? They get thrown in a fiery furnace. They get thrown in the fiery furnace. They got hats and coats and hosen, and they're bound, and they hit the ground. When, verse 23, they fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Verse 24, Daniel 3:24, Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonied. That's a great word. Not just astonished, but astonied. Like, that face just gets stuck like a rock. And rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Isn't that amazing? Do you think Daniel had been preaching to that old king? Because how else would he know that sometimes God shows up in the form of a man who can stand fire like an angel could do? The Bible says, my God is a consuming fire. And notice when Nebuchadnezzar makes a decree about him in verse 28, he says, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants. It's the same thing again and again. The angel of the Lord appears as a man. That man is God, manifest in a man's body. That's what you're seeing. That's how Isaiah could see him and live and still be seeing God, because he's seeing the appearance of Jesus Christ. Okay, let me be sure before we do anything else. We'll stop with that. There's a couple of other appearances, but I think you get the point. I think you got it. You got it? Amen. I love the Bible. I love the Bible. I love it because it's true. I love it because you don't have to change it. Oh, I love it because all you got to do is just keep reading, keep talking to God, keep studying, and keep praying for the Holy Spirit to give you understanding. And eventually, if you didn't know it, you will. Father, we thank you for this great book, and we ask you, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, to please help us to be faithful, good stewards of the words of God, to study them, to learn them, to teach them, to live by them, and to unashamedly preach these to those that are lost for Jesus' sake. Amen.